You've tuned into His Name Ministries Podcast.
Hallelujah. I want to share this morning. When I was asked to speak, this is what kind of was on my heart. It's a very deep subject. You can talk a lot about it. But I want to share a little bit about it, but it's about the anointing of God. Yeah. I want to share about the anointing. You always hear that term, that was anointed service, or that man has an anointing on him, or what is the anointing? What is the anointing of God? It's the presence of God. It's the power of God. The word anoint means to be smeared, to be smothered. You and I, we are called to be anointed. We are called to be smeared. We're called to be smothered. We're called to be anointed, especially in this hour we are living in. John G. Lake, a famous man of God, he's not alive anymore. Very well respected. People looked up to him. People read about him. But he was a powerful man of God. He was a businessman making tons of money. And the Lord said, hey, stop this. He quit his job. And he literally went to Africa with just him and his wife and his family. They had nothing. They didn't have any money. They didn't know what to do. They went there by faith because God told them to go. He gets to Africa, and a lady comes up to him and says, I'm supposed to give you my house. This is at a train station. This is in the early 1900s, a beautiful, like, mansion. And his what he would do there, and he would travel all across the world, but literally signs and wonders and miracles and the power of God, the anointing, I'm talking about the anointing, was so strong on him. The anointing of God was so evident on him. There's an anointing on your life. God has anointed you. Just because you're here right now, that's a sign of it. He's anointed you, but you can increase that anointing. There's people that are more anointed than other people. And it's not because Jesus loves them more. He loves us all the same. But as we tap into spending time with God, as we tap in having that fellowship with him, when he's real to us, when he's not just a sermon, when he's your everything, when you spend time with him, when you're not up and down, that anointing on your life will increase. When you spend time in worship, when you spend time in the Word of God, the anointing will increase in your life. Amen. We all have a relationship with God, but I'm talking about a fellowship with him, where you're so close to him, where he's greater than anything. I love Destiny, but he's my everything. And I won't let anything get in between me and my time with the Lord. There's times I'll be tired at night, but I'll stay up. Destiny will be asleep. She'll tell you. She'll go to bed. She'll go, will you lay down with me? Just talk to me for a little bit. I'll lay down, talk. Then I'll head out in the living room. Why? Spending time with the Lord. I have to have it. He's my foundation. My happiness does not rely on Destiny. It's all about him. The anointing of God, as you spend time fellowshipping with him, you spend time in the Word. When you're just having that time with him, the anointing of God will increase in your life. John G. Lake, powerful man of God, he was anointed. They had the bubonic plague was happening. People were dying. Thousands of people were dying. And him and his, I think it was his son, him and his son were helping bury the dead. Because no one wanted to touch the dead because you did that, you're going to get it. You're going to die. But he said this in the Word of God, the Spirit of life is inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It was real to him. And he told a scientist, he wanted to prove it. He said, take some of those germs in that dead guy's saliva or whatever. And they took the germs and they put it on his hands. And they examined it. And it was all alive, all active. But when it touched his hands, John G. Lake's, it died, those germs. Anointing. The anointing of God destroys every sickness, every disease, every coronavirus, every financial situation. The anointing of God is greater. The presence of God is greater. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care the pressure you're facing. I've had some pressures. I've had some things come up against me, but I always knew the anointing of God is greater. You and I are anointed. I want you to say, I am anointed. You know, Jesus was in the synagogue, and he gets up to preach, and he says this. In Isaiah 61, he said this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the word of the Lord to people that are in prison, to preach the, to tell them they're free. But this is what Jesus said. He said, I am anointed to preach the word of God. Jesus is anointed. You are anointed because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. If you're not anointed, you're annoying. That's it right there. If you're not anointed, you're annoying. You know, that's the two differences right there. You know, it says Samson in the Word of God. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. What is the Spirit of the Lord? That's the anointing of God. The anointing of God came upon Samson. And it says he ripped a lion in half. Isn't that amazing? You can literally, in the spirit, you're so anointed that the enemy might come at you like a roaring lion, but you will rip him in half. You are anointed for this hour. There are no favorites. God has called all of us for this time. Isn't that encouraging? Hallelujah. And we are that vehicle, we are that vessel that carries the presence of God, that carries the anointing of God. Not that we're just so special, but it's who we carry. We carry Him. Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit goes. It says in the Word of God, we are the temples of the living God. The Old Testament, the presence of God was in the temple. Only once a year, the high priest would come in there, and they were scared. Why? Because if they weren't living right, that's it. Sayonara. They would tie a bell on their ankle, and they would go in the presence of the Lord. And if they heard that bell ringing, they knew they were okay. But if they didn't hear the bell ringing anymore, they also tied them, they had a bell, and they had some rope tied up on them. They fell over. They could just drag them out. What was it? It was the presence of God. And it was the presence of God judging the sin in their life. But how many know when Jesus came and he paid the price for us? So it's not about what we can do. It's what he has done for us. And now, because what Jesus did for us, we are the temples of God. And Jesus said, it's good for you that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. The anointing. So everywhere we go, Jesus goes, the Holy Spirit goes. And we have to be aware of that. And it takes practice. Because you can go throughout your day and you can have a good time. Go to Sprouts. Get your fruit. Go to Coffee Bean. Get your vanilla coffee. Whatever. Go to work. Go have sushi. Go watch your Netflix. Read your... What's that devotion you read, Melissa? Woman After God's Heart. You can read that and go to bed. That's my sister-in-law. I like to tease her. But it takes practice to be like, hey, I thank you, Lord. Even right now, I'm drinking my coffee. I love you. I think you're here with me. Thank you as I'm driving here and I'm stuck in traffic. You're here with me. And you have your worship music on. You're praying. You're saying, and you're talking to him like a father. Lord, I thank you for helping me. I feel like giving up. I feel discouraged. Can you encourage me? Can you help me today? I don't want to act like I have it all together because he knows everything. I need you. I always say, Lord, help me be a better dad. Help me be a better husband. Teach me, Lord. I need you. I depend upon you. And he'll help us. He'll answer us. He'll talk to us. I want you to use me to help other people. Whatever I can say, I want to do it. Because I carry you. I carry the presence of God. I carry the anointing, and I want to help other people because I know that's the answer. The anointing of God destroys every yoke. The anointing of God destroys every bondage, every stronghold, every mindset. Even last night, I was on social media, and there's this guy that I follow, and he has a big following, and he shows like t-shirts. He sells t-shirts and talks about t-shirts and stuff. That's one of my hobbies. I like to look at these old t-shirts, and the guy talks about them. So I see, you know, on Instagram, they have a story, Instagram story, and you can see what they're doing. Well, here's this guy, and he's on Instagram, and this is his story. Hey, guys, I'm not going to show any t-shirts tonight. I'm really down. I'm really depressed. This is what I like to do when I'm depressed. And all these stories were him in a dark room, sitting in a chair, playing this like this crazy music. And all you just see is hat and his flat bill. I was like, I'm tired of watching this. I just sent him a message, Jesus, bro. So I said, Jesus. He messaged me back, thank you, I needed to hear that. So I started sending him some scriptures. He goes, you have no idea how you helped me. You have no idea. What? That's you and I. That's what we're called to do. The anointing of God. You can be there to encourage that person. But everywhere we go, we carry him. We carry the presence of God. I was in Branson, my hometown. I'm there, and we have one Starbucks. Not like here in California, we have like seven. Oh, that line's long. Let me go to Walnut or whatever. We don't got that option. It's pretty bad. And they'll close. The Starbucks, they have their own hours. They'll close whenever they want to close. You'll go there, it'll be closed. It really will, all the time. And I'll ask the next day, hey, you guys were closed yesterday. We don't know. I'm like, you don't know? Like, what's going on here? It's very interesting. So it was a Friday night. I went to the Starbucks, and it was a lot of people were in there. So I started, I saw someone I knew, and he was there. I go, hey, come here, let me buy you a coffee. So him and I are talking. He had his little girlfriend there waiting, you know. And we're talking, and I noticed as I was talking to him, he was like stumbling over his words. He was acting funny. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I bought his coffee. On the way home, he messaged me, texted me. He said, Brandon, when I was talking to you, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus when I was talking to you. It's not about me. It's about him. Him living inside of me. What he saw. Maybe he was going through something. Maybe he wasn't doing something he shouldn't be doing. But he saw Jesus. What did he see? He saw love. That's what Jesus does. Jesus shows love. He doesn't judge. I saw Jesus. That's the cry of my heart. I want people to see him. I want to act like Jesus. I don't want to just talk church. That's the worst. And then live crazy. And I want to be like Jesus. He's real to me. He's everything to me. My life is not my life. It's his life. He lives on the inside of you and I. We were here one time at Drip at the coffee shop. Early in the morning, I was upstairs. I was reading a book. Destiny was with me, and all of a sudden a guy comes up, walks up the stairs, and he goes, what book are you reading? I was kind of caught off guard. And I was like, oh, this is a Christian book. I started talking to him. I thought he was a Christian. I go, oh, you a Christian? He goes, no, I'm an atheist. I'm not a Christian at all. But there's power coming from that book, and there's power coming from you. The anointing of God, the presence of God. So he sat down. He just started talking to me. He's like, I don't believe in God and all this. I said, well, I don't believe it's an accident. I'm talking to you. I was like, I love Jesus. I know how it is to, you know, play the church game, but he's my everything. He loves you, bro. And that guy, the Lord, the Holy Spirit started to move on that guy's heart. What was it? It was the anointing of God. Me and myself, I can't do anything, but the anointing of God destroys and breaks every yoke. Every yoke. Hallelujah. I know what it's like to be around powerful men and women of God. My family's in ministry. I've met some of the, you could say, biggest names. I've met people that you won't even know their names. But when you're around them, the presence of God's so strong, so evident. What is it? The anointing of God. They're tapping into something. They have a deeper relationship with God, a deeper fellowship with God than I have. And I say, whoa, God, I want that. I want that. I remember I would help, you know, like in high school, my family's ministry, I would help around, do whatever they wanted me to do. And one time they said, Brandon, we want you to mic up, put a mic on the guest minister. I don't even know how to put a mic on. I mean, you got to get real up in there. You got to go up their shirt, all this crazy stuff, right? I didn't want to do that. I was dreading it. But I walked up the stairs, and I'm like, oh, man. So I knocked on the door. I hear, come in. So I walked in, and I'm not living 100% on fire for God, to say the least. I'm doing things. I'm hanging out with people I shouldn't be doing, hanging out with people I shouldn't be hanging out with. So I said, Lord, wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Don't want a word right now. Hide it from the man of God. Hide it. I'll get back going. I'll get back on track. And he opened the door, and I remember he was like standing off there, and he had a nice suit on. And I was like, I could see like a silhouette of him. And he was praying in the spirit. And I was like, hi, I'm here to put your mic on. He said, okay. So I attempted it, and he ended up just doing it all. And he's praying, and he goes, hold on. He's like, Brandon, the Lord has a call on your life. So you need to step into it. He goes, right now you're in a field season, like David. No one notices you. You're doing your own thing, but God's going to call you out. Well, okay. But when I walked by him, when I walked in that room, I felt electricity in that room. The anointing of God, presence of God. I felt that. Whoa, that's the anointing of God. The presence of God. I'm hungry for that. Amen. And even the anointing of God, the presence of God, when you pray for people, you see those, you've been in services before, or maybe videos, and you see it where someone prays and the anointing of God, they fall to the ground. Sometimes the anointing of God, the presence of God is so heavy that your natural body can't stand up or contain it. That's why you fall to the ground. That's why they fall. That's why you see that, whoa, and they just fall. What? The anointing of God is so heavy. The presence of God is so heavy, they can't even stand up. I remember this time, you know, when I was in kids' church. And I was there in kids' church, and, you know, I kind of like kids' church. I remember the pastor had a big bucket of bubble gum, the kids' church pastor, and I never got one piece of bubble gum. I was upset a lot. I never did. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get my own bucket of bubble gum. And I did. I went to Sam's and got me a bucket of bubble gum just like his, probably bigger. And I would go to kids' church and I would bring I had a whole pocket full. So I don't need your gum. I got my own. Because you give it out if you're quiet or you brought your Bible and all that. I never got any pieces, but I didn't have to. I had it all right. I would give it to people. I'm like, hey, you need to get a gum? I got you. I got you. I'll take care of you. It looked like a big painter's bucket. That's what it looked like. Had that thing for about a year. Everyone would come over and get gum. Well, I remember it was the kids' church pastor. He was going to be the guest speaker in I call it the big church. So I remember, here he is at the big church. My family's there. And people know my family, especially at this church. They knew who my grandmother was and all this. So he's preaching. And then he calls all the young people up. So I go up there. I probably didn't want to go up there, but my family says, go up there. So I remember he was praying for me. He lays his hands on me, and he was trying to push me down. And I knew, I'm thinking he's just trying to impress people. So I got real like, you're not pushing me down. I'm gonna push forward. You're not gonna get any budge. So I'm having this fight right now. My family's like, Brandon, what was going on? I was like, don't worry about it. I think he was trying to push me down. He wanted me to fly out. I was convinced. But sometimes the anointing of God, people pray for you or you feel that, boom, you fly to the ground. But how many know in the spirit, when you're worshiping God, that anointing, whatever you have, whatever might be trying to come on you, will fly off all the time. You feel like, oh, I don't know what this is, it's attitude or whatever. You spend time worshiping God, you spend time in the Word of God, that thing will fly off. The anointing of God destroys and breaks every bondage, every stronghold, not just a little bit of them, every one, the anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God, us tapping into it. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. I felt led. I went through the whole book of Mark, and I was just reading the book of Mark, and it so blessed me reading about Jesus and his earthly ministry, how he was, God anointed him, and how he'd be preaching, and people, demons would jump out and go crazy, and he would deliver them, and signs and wonders and miracles. You know, at all times around Jesus, there was about 20 to 30,000 people. At all times. When he would walk, it says a great fame went out. They heard about Jesus, the miracles, signs, and wonders. People that had stuff that they were carrying, demonic, and they all brought him to Jesus. They needed a touch from heaven. They needed a touch from God. What did they need? They needed the anointing. They were hungry for the anointing. The world outside these four walls, Chino Hills, Ontario, Montclair, they're hungry. They're looking for the anointing. And you and I are carriers of it. And you're not just anointed. There's not just an anointing to preach. There's an anointing for you to go to your work. There's anointed people that are hairstylists. What God has called you to do, what you're doing now, that's what you're anointed at it. The enemy would like to discourage you, put you down, but he is a liar. But at all times, 20 to 30,000 people around Jesus. How many know Christ is not Jesus' last name? It's not Jesus Christ. This is the Christ family. No, that word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. And 20 to 30,000 people all the time around Jesus. Well, I need the anointing. I want to touch from him. I need a breakthrough. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 19, it says this, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. People came from everywhere. And what were they wanting? They were wanting to touch the anointing. It says great power was coming off of Jesus. Such a great anointing coming off of him that people that were sick couldn't be sick anymore. People that had diseases couldn't have a disease anymore. People that had demons bothering, they were instantly freed, instantly delivered. The anointing was so heavy on Jesus. But people sought to touch him. You can still touch Jesus right now. Right now in church, when you're worshiping, when you're right now, you can say, Lord, I touch you. I thank you for that. And he will answer your cry. He will answer you. How do I know? Because I've been there. I've been there. I said, Lord, I need you. I need a touch from you. I need you to help me. Everyone else doesn't misunderstands me. Everyone else, there's all this stuff being said about me, but I need you. I need your touch. I need your anointing. You can get hungry for that. I don't want to be like how it was last year. I want to be changed. Just like all those people sought to touch Jesus right now, here in church, you can still touch him. That anointing. Hallelujah. Isn't God so good? Paul, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll look at the first verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says this, Paul, he's speaking. Have you guys ever heard of Paul? Okay, I'm sorry. God really used Paul. Amen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, this is Paul, he said, I came with not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul said this, I didn't come with the excellency of speech. I didn't have the best words. I couldn't talk the best. I didn't come with that. He says this in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, the demonstration of the anointing. He said, I didn't talk the best. I even came trembling. I came maybe nervous. I didn't know what to say, but my faith was in the anointing. And my faith was in the Holy Spirit using me, Paul, to speak to you. That's what my faith rests in. I didn't come here this morning saying, oh, I got a great message. I preached to myself in the mirror 50 times. When I say, turn to 1 Corinthians 2, I'll do this. I didn't do any of that. I was up last night. I typed some things out, some things that were on my heart, some things that the Lord's been ministering to me. But I believe God, when I walked in here, Holy Spirit will use me. He'll speak through me. I don't know what, I didn't plan what to say, but he'll use me. So that's what Paul said. I didn't come with my excellency of speech, of wisdom, which he could have because he knew the word of God like no one else. Since he's a little guy, he studied Hebrew. He knew the books of the Bible. He said in the word of God, I am like a Hebrew of Hebrews, but I forsake everything that I may win Christ. Everything else is nothing to me. But he says this, my faith stands not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm thankful for that. Our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but our faith stands in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. That's the enemy. That's the devil. Devil, demons that have come to naught. The word naught means nothing, zero. He's saying the enemy, the devil, all the demons, they are nothing. They are zero. But we have to know that. We have to believe that. The enemy tries to attack our life. Say, you are a nothing. You are a zero because Jesus won the victory for me. And the anointing of God will see me through. The anointing of God will help me and will deliver me through this circumstance. Amen? I want you to turn to John, the book of John, chapter 18. We'll look at verse 4. Jesus in the garden. Jesus getting ready to go through the cross. How many know Jesus was not surprised by what happened? So in John chapter 18, verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? So here's all the soldiers, the Roman soldiers. Here they come with their swords and their spears and their lanterns. And they're looking for Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus, and they're going to find Jesus. They knew he was there because why? Judas told them, that's where he's at. When I kiss him, that's the one. But Jesus knew all things. It says that in verse 4, Jesus therefore knowing all things. He wasn't surprised. When you're going through something, when you're facing a battle, Jesus is not surprised. We can rely upon him. Put our faith in him. He says, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am him. I am he. I'm Jesus. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Look at this, verse 6. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. What was it? The anointing of God. And when the anointing, when the natural and the supernatural go against each other, one has to give, and it's always the natural. What was it? Did Jesus try to push them down? No, the anointing of God, the presence and the power of God. And those big, bad Roman soldiers, all Jesus did, he said, I am he. He didn't say, worship team, put on some nice, lovely worship music. Start praying in the spirit. No, he just said, I'm Jesus. Who are you looking for? I'm Jesus. And they flew back to the ground. The anointing of God, the power and the presence of God. Amen. I want you to look at Matthew. I'm just giving you a couple of examples. Matthew chapter 28. Look at the first verse. The anointing of God is greater than anything that you face in the natural. You and I are carriers of the anointing. He wants to touch your life today, this morning, afresh, with a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from him. David said in Psalms chapter 92, he says, Lord, you exalt my horn like the horn of a unicorn. He said this, David, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, a fresh anointing. David said that. I believe this morning we are going to be anointed with a fresh anointing to go and to do what God has called us to do. And we won't be stopped. We won't be discouraged. We won't be watching the news being in fear. We'll have a knowing. I am anointed this very hour. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says this. The end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. And behold, so here they go to the tomb where his body is at. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Can you imagine that? They go up to the tomb and they can't move this stone. It's so big. But an angel of the Lord comes from heaven, moves the stone, and then sits upon it. You might have a situation in your life that looks like a huge stone, but it is under your feet. The angel moved that stone away, sat upon it, and the angel's countenance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, so the guards, did shake. So here's these guards. They're starting to shake. They're scared. They are shaking, and they became dead. They became as dead men. What did they do? They fell to the ground. The anointing of God, the power of God, the presence of God, these big, bad guards, they see the angel of the Lord show up, move the stone, sit upon it, and they start to shake, and they fell down like dead men. The anointing, the presence of God. Amen? That's what the anointing will do. Amen. Not just physically, you falling out, but even spiritually, anything you're going through, any stronghold, any bondage, any lust, any greed, any envy, any jealousy, the anointing of God will destroy that. It will fall off of you. Every time. Every bad thing you shouldn't have been doing, every little stronghold, addiction, whatever it is, the anointing of God will destroy it, will break it. Every time. I had a friend growing up, him and I were best friends since we were little. I was born in April, he was born in May. And him and my mom were best friends. We were always around each other all the time. They acted like we were twins. We were with each other all the time. But I remember when I got, in junior high, he was a little more wilder than I was. And I would hang out with him, but then it kind of went off, and I'd stop hanging out with him as much. Well, high school, I saw him. We started hanging out, but he was full-blown into drugs, alcohol. I'm not talking little drugs, big drugs. I loved him. I tried to help him. But he was like another kid, you know. He was 16 years old doing really hard, bad stuff. And I remember I invited him. I had him come up to, he lives in Oklahoma. I had him come up to Branson and stay with me. And I took him to a conference, a young adult youth conference. And he went. And I remember during the worship, he was there and he raised his hands. He was worshiping God. And when he did that, the anointing of God destroyed every addiction he had. Every I'm talking big addictions. He was free. And he never touched it again. The anointing of God destroyed it. And God so touched him. So touched him. He was on fire for God. He was a new guy. I remember one time him and I went to a church meeting. And it was about 2,000 people. And they started doing praise and worship. And everyone's just standing there, kind of relaxed. And no one's jumping up and down. No one's raising their hands. He told me, he said, Brandon, I can't help it. And he started running around the church. He's 18 years old. He went to the front by himself, jumping up and down. He's on fire for God because he knew God touched him. God delivered him. I went up there with him. It's just him and I. Big church, worshiping God. That might look funny, but we didn't care. It's all about him anyways. My sister was there, and her friends say, I remember that night when Brandon brought his friend, and Brandon's friend started running around the church, went up to the front and worshiped God. Why? Because the anointing of God touched him, delivered him, changed him. That's what the anointing of God will do. That's what the presence of God will do. These big, bad guys, they fell down like dead men when they encountered the power and the glory of God. We are carriers of that. We got to get hungry for that. You're not just someone getting by, living on grumbling alley, I grumble, I complain. No, you are anointed. God has his hand on you. God wants to use you like he did David. God wants to use you like Paul. He wants to be so on you, so present on you. Everywhere you go, people go, I don't know what it is, but there's something on that guy. There's something on her. It's Jesus. It's the anointing of God. The presence of God. I want to read this last scripture here. You can just listen. But it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. John said this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead as dead. So John, he sees this vision of heaven. He says, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Keys are authority. So John sees Jesus, and it says he did what? He fell to his feet as dead. How many know all throughout the scripture, when people see these encounters with Jesus, they all fall down? What? The anointing of God, the presence of God. It says in Revelation chapter 4, around the holies of holy, you know, people are crying out. The elders are casting their crowns. They're falling out, and they're crying out, holy, holy, all the time. The anointing of God, the presence of God. That's what's going to change California. That's what's going to change your life. That's what's going to change your household. That's what's going to change your kids' life. It's not just my mom's Jesus that she serves or my dad's and I'm dragged to church. No, he's my Jesus. He's my God. He's touched my life, not just my mom's. He'll never turn his back on me. Why? Because he gave his back for me. Oh, Brandon, I've been to the church. People talk bad about me. People hurt me. Jesus experienced that and way more. The most religious leaders of the day wanted to kill him. They said he does works of the devil. What did Jesus do? Oh, they're making fun of me. They hurt my feelings. I'm not going to go to that synagogue anymore. Why did my father put me through this? No one likes me. There was times Jesus was preaching, the whole congregation leaves. They all left. I haven't had that happen yet. I might need Destiny to encourage me if that happened. That might kind of shake me up a little bit, to be honest. They all left. Then Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you want to leave too? Why don't you take off? No, you have the words of life. Jesus faced all that. But he loves you. He loves you so much, and he wants to use your life, and he wants to put anointing so strong on your life, well, you'll never be the same. Amen? I want to read some examples, and John, you can come up. Amen. Some examples. There's a guy named John Wesley, revivalist, powerful man of God. God used him to start America. Amazing revivalist. But they said this when he would preach. People, when this guy was ministering, people fell like thunderstruck to the ground. What was it? The anointing of God. And they had uncontrollable laughter. These are thousands of people, and the guy preaching, they would all fall to the ground. A lot of times, what? It was the anointing of God. It was the presence of God. George Whitefield, another powerful man of God. People falling out under the power of God. They said the joy sounded like the Niagara River. It was so many people getting touched from God. The anointing God touching so many people. They all had joy. And it sounded like the Niagara River. I've been to the Niagara River. Been right up to it. It's huge. It's very intimidating. That's how the joy sounded. Catherine Kuhlman, the anointing of God so strong on her, the power of God so strong on her. We know the story. She would have the big convention center. Thousands of people would come, get healed, get touched. But she would leave. After she would leave, go into her hotel room at this convention center, she would walk through the kitchen to go to the elevator, to go to her room. The anointing of God was so strong on her, people fell to the ground. These are kitchen workers. These are union workers. These aren't people going to church saying, I love Jesus. No, they're just there. No telling what they're doing. The anointing of God, no telling the lifestyles they're living. The anointing of God was so strong, they fell to the ground. The presence of God. Another example. A man, Charles Finney, another powerful man of God, revivalist. Thousands, probably million people saved, more than millions of people saved through his ministry. He was somewhere, I don't know if it was England or what, he was somewhere, he had meetings, but during the day, a guy says, I want to show you my business, I want to show you this business I have. Okay, so he goes. It's this huge factory, massive factory, lots of workers, probably hundreds of workers. He's touring this factory, walking around. He's not preaching. He's looking, this guy's showing him, oh, this is what we do, this is our business. These people are working right here, working on the this and that. He's walking around. And they said all the workers start to tremble. And they couldn't work anymore. They had to close that factory for like 3 to 4 days. It was the anointing of God. It wasn't just Charles Finney, but the anointing, the Holy Spirit, what he was carrying was permeating off of him, and that whole factory were taking knowledge of it. That's the anointing. That's the presence of God. That's what you and I are called to carry. He wants to use you. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You are special to him. I want you to close your eyes. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this. We say yes to you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We say yes to you. That we will carry this. We'll be hungry for this. The anointing of God destroys every sickness. The anointing of God destroys every pain. Any depression, the anointing of God destroys it. We thank you, Lord, for that anointing. We thank you for that presence. Whatever you need right now, whatever you believe in God for right now, just like those people sought to touch Jesus, take it right now. You don't need me laying hands on you. The anointing of God is here. The presence of God is here. Jesus is here. Just reach out and touch and believe God for what you need right now. Get your eyes off your circumstance. Get your eyes off whatever it is and put your eyes on him. Whatever you need. Lord, I thank you for miracles. I thank you for healings. I thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. The anointing of God destroys every yoke in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. If you say, Brandon, I love Jesus, but to be honest, if I be real with you, I'm in a backslidden state. I'm not in a good place with the Lord that I need to be, and I wanna step it up. I wanna be anointed this very hour. I want God to use me like never before. I don't want the world to have a hold on me. I want to be used by God. I want you to be bold. Don't look to your neighbor. This is not even for me. This is an answer for you, to you answering the call that God has put on your life. If you were saying, Brandon, that's me. I want God to use me this hour like never before. I'm not in the right place with God, but I want to make a change. I want to make a decision right now to be anointed the way he's called me to be. I want you to raise your hand. Anyone here, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord sees it. He sees it. Is there anyone here? You'd say, Brandon, I never made that decision to make the Lord my Savior, to ask him in my heart. And I want to make that decision to have Jesus be the Lord of my life. Is there anyone here? I want to just give that opportunity. Anyone here? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can all stand. You can all stand. I want you guys to all repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I give you my heart. I ask you to use me, to anoint me with a fresh anointing, with a fresh fire, that people won't recognize me. Strongholds, you are broken in Jesus' name. The anointing of God destroys you. I am anointed. I am called. I am loved by God. His hands upon me. My life is God's. Devil, you are defeated. You are nothing. You are zero. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Just right now, just lift up your voice to the Lord. Just worship him. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. Your love's amazing. We can't contain your love, Father. Healings, miracles, breakthroughs, strongholds broken. Freedom like never before. Freedom like never before. We give you, God, all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. How many can tell something's happened? You feel better? Anyone here, you had a pain in your body, it's gone? Anyone? Hallelujah. Anyone here, you had a pain in your body, you don't feel that pain anymore? Great, wave your hand if that's you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The devil tries to put things on sons and daughters of God, but he cannot. We cannot accept it. I don't care the symptoms of what it is. You can't go on Wikipedia and say, what is this? No. He'll try, but he will not prosper. Because our final say is the Word of God. We get in the Word. I don't feel love, Brandon. Get in the Word. I don't have joy. Get in the Word. What should I read? Why don't you look on your phone, joy scriptures in the Bible. Start reading the joy scriptures. I don't feel it. You don't go by your feelings. You don't go by goosebumps. A lot of times I feel nothing. In the words of destiny, I feel jack, nothing. But we do it by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you walk by your feelings, that might get you some crazy places. Amen. We walk by faith. And the devil is always a counterfeit. He counterfeits the real. You come in a time of worship, you go to Ricky's thing, you worship the Lord, all in, you hear the Word of God, you feel great, you have that buzz. The enemy will counterfeit it. He'll counterfeit it with alcohol, he'll counterfeit it with drugs, but that will leave you empty and wanting more. And the only thing that can satisfy us is Jesus. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can satisfy us.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.